Today on the Dominic Inyart Show, the progressive left has accidentally gone full circle. They've reverse engineered a healthy outlook on sex in an attempt to threaten men to reinstate and grow. Their own stupidity might just be good for them. We're also taking a look at the border crisis and what is the solution to that. All of that and more right here on the Dominic Inyart Show. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country and welcome to the Dominic Inyart Show. Just a quick heads up to parents, we are going to be talking a little bit about hookup culture today. Nothing too crude, but just be a little careful if you have kids with you in the car. But so we've been saying on this show for a long time now that ending abortion would be the knife in the heart of liberalism. Not because abortion is the core value of the left, but rather that abortion is their most effective tool in their toolkit to express their core value. And that value, of course, is the hatred of God. And what more severe way is there to express your hatred of God than to reject the very first command in the Bible, be fruitful and multiply? And by rejecting that command, by dismembering your own children who are made in the image of God. What more severe way is there to express your hatred of God than that? And the core value of the left, it is hatred of God. And when you peel back all the layers, and when you find yourself at their cold, dead, dark heart, when you get down to the very bottom, they despise God. That is what is at the bottom. That is what is at the core. And abortion is the greatest perversion of his design. And the dark irony of abortion is that it gives birth to other sins that spread far and wide. And today, I'd like to focus on one of those sins. I'd like to focus on hookup culture. And ending abortion, right, it would be the knife in the heart of liberalism. And abortion, it hasn't even been banned yet, and we are already seeing the truth of this. The past few days since Friday, when Roe was overruled, we've been seeing the libs, and they're taking to social media and screaming, you know, hey, conservative guys, don't you realize with Roe being overturned, that means hookup culture is coming to an end. You should fight really hard to reinstate Roe and to protect abortion if you want hookup culture to continue. And the left, they fail to understand that giving us exactly what we want is not a very compelling threat. I don't understand why that's a complicated notion for them. The cancerous social media platform TikTok is home to many such liberals who don't understand how threats work. One post reads, "Wait till women ban sex. No abortions, no chance, Kyle." Oh man, poor Kyle. Poor Kyle. Another reads, "At men who aren't speaking up on Roe versus Wade, y'all know this is the end of one-night stand culture, right? Or how about this one? Let's all silently wait for the moment when all straight men simultaneously realize overturning Roe means hookup culture is over. This is now life and death. Your choices are stop regulating women's bodies or mandate reversible vasectomy." And I could go on and on, but I'm sure you get the point. The last one there, "This is now life and death." And ironically, no, this is not just now life and death. This has been a life and death issue since back in 1966 when Mississippi allowed that very first abortion. But aside from her historically inaccurate statement, this goes to show they think hookup culture and one-night stands, right? Hookup culture is at the core of who they are. It is at the core of their lives. And not getting with the first random dude that they see at the bar you know, oh, there goes my way of life. This is now life and death. And it just goes to show how deeply ingrained their perversion is. Other viral posts, and you might have seen these, and these are a little bit crude, so be warned. What woman would have... Actually, I am going to censor these a tad here. What woman would have relations with a drunk rando if he could potentially father their child? Or how about this one here? Why would we risk letting someone who runs on Hot Pockets and Jewel Pods father our children? Then, since about 75% of men only care about sex and money, I hope they know that this Roe v. Wade decision could destroy hookup culture and leave them paying 18 years of child support. This isn't just an issue for women, boys. And it's like, oh, what do you know? It's almost as if it's smart to find a single good guy to get married to and to stick with him. And it's almost as if it's a bad idea to go around sleeping with random people. Who would have thought? It's almost as if that is a bad idea. There's a viral tweet that pops up every now and then, and it does a good job summarizing things. It reads, periodically, progressives will accidentally reverse engineer healthy sexual behavior, and they act like they've discovered Atlantis. And that one, it really does hit the nail on the head. So to all these liberals, you are correct. You should not sleep with a random drunk guy you picked up at the bar. You should not do that. And what's ironic about this? Ironically, the quote-unquote punishment that they're handing out, this punishment will only be affecting other liberal men who already support Roe, and they already support abortion. So you're you know, quote-unquote punishing the people on your own side. And it's not a punishment. Of course, this is what is best for them. But your punishment, what you think is a punishment, is only being applied to those who already agree with you. And the Christian conservatives who are already pure through marriage, they will be unaffected. It will not, your punishment, it will not affect them in the slightest. And the left, what we see is the left, they want sex to be reduced down to only the mere physical action, right? And the designer of sex, God himself, he designed it to be so much more than that, so much more than just the physical flesh on your body. But they don't want anything more than that. They just want to reduce it down to its most base physical functions. And they don't want any of the strings attached. They just want that sensation. And they want that sensation without having to pay the cost. The cost of emotional attachment, the effort of commitment, the responsibility of potential children, or, you know, the even just the consequences of STDs. And they try and take God's design, his design for sex in marriage, and they try and twist it around and jump through the hoops and duck under the bars and only get the physical sensation. Only get that part of God's design without following the rest of his plan. But when you try and pick and choose which parts of God's plan you want, you will only end up being miserable, disease-ridden, and alone. That is what you end up with when you do not follow God's plan in its entirety. I've heard a lot that the Bible, it's a very similar to a car manual. And if you want your car to run well, you should read your manual, put in the right type of fuel, keep it repaired as the manual says. And if you don't, then your car is not going to do very well. And that's the same with the Bible. The Bible is a manual for our lives. And when we try and just decide, you know, oh, I'm gonna put water in the gas tank instead of gas because it's cheaper, your car's, it's not gonna do too great. But so you have to follow the manual all the way, and you can't twist God's design And right, you can't escape the emotional attachment of sex because, as it is written, the two shall become one flesh. And then that one flesh tearing that and separate that separation of that one flesh back into two people, it will be extremely painful. And of course, if you go around and you find a new guy every night and you get with, 30 different people, you will be able to sear your conscience to that pain. You will be able to sear your conscience at some point, and then you won't have that attachment with the 31st guy that you had with the first guy. But that doesn't come without the pain of those first 10 times doing that. And it also, it's not just that it sears your conscience. It also has a price tag on the other end. And that is, once you have seared your conscience, in the future, you won't be able to have and you won't be able to develop any of those meaningful relationships when you finally want one. And you will have burnt out your ability to fall in love. And that is a terrifying thought. Imagine burning out your ability to fall in love. That is scary. And right, then they also tried to remove any need for commitment before having sex. But then what's the consequence of that? Well, people in the world, women specifically, you'll see left and right that they are so desperate to find, once they're ready, right? They're so desperate to find a man who is willing to commit himself to her. And it's like, hey, are you really all that surprised? You've spent the last 30 years of your life training men that they don't have to give any commitment, and hey, women will get with them. And so you've spent your last 30 years training men for that, and now you're surprised when you can't find a man who's going to commit to you. And I mean, actually, there are Christians who are willing to commit, but they won't want to commit with you because you are so far away from God. And then they want to get rid of the potential responsibility of having children from sex. They try and dodge that by murdering their own kids. And right, that doesn't even mean that you don't have children. You still have the child. It just means that you have children who have been murdered. And the price to pay for that is having your own child's blood on your hands for the rest of eternity. Unless, of course, you turn to Christ, who can make you clean. And then just the consequences of STDs. They try so hard to escape STDs, but it's really not possible. It's really not possible, with the exception of being married, of getting married to one spouse in marriage. That is really the only way to escape STDs. And, there's a crazy stat out there, which is, it's not surprising. I won't say it's surprising, but it is sad, and it is a big stat. One in three college students have STDs. At any given time, one in three college students have STDs. And in America, when you go and you're trying to get a so-called higher education, when you're doing that at college, you are more likely to get out of college with an STD than a degree. You get that? You are more likely to get an STD in college than a degree in college. And there's this street preacher who I am friends with, really great guy, Jesse Morell. And by the way, Jesse Morell is online. You can find him. You can find a lot of his videos online. And he's a real sharp guy. Oh, we don't see eye to eye on everything, but on the majority of stuff, we're eye to eye on, and I think he's a very godly man. And I was watching a video of his, and he was at a college, and he was sharing this statistic with a lot of these, secular college students, and he was telling them, you all have STDs, and that's a consequence of your sin. One in three of you has an STD. And he started pointing at them, and he had a big crowd around him, as he always does. And he was going, 1, 2, 3, STD. 1, 2, 3, pointing 1, pointing 2, pointing 3, STD, pointing 1, 2, 3, STD. 1 in 3 of you have an STD. And there was this, this is how you know that the higher education myth is, it is a myth. One of the girls, this is so embarrassing. She told him, if you really know that we have STDs, if you really know that and you're saying this, that's a HIPAA violation. She said it's a HIPAA violation. And they are not too intelligent, I'll tell you that. But, you know, Paul talks about this too, right? Paul talks about STDs, right? Paul does. He does talk about STDs, right? In Romans chapter 1, professing to be wise, they became fools. And God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Then let's see. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with sexual immorality. And that verse there, sorry, that phrase there in verse 27, they received in themselves the penalty which was due. That's STDs. They received in themselves, they received in their physical bodies the penalty which was due. And, you know, that, of course, with what Paul said there, he was talking about homosexuality, but Paul also, he warns in all of his writings against all forms of sexual immorality, whether it be, you know, bestiality or orgies or, you know, just not the God, the plan that God laid out. And then Paul says here, receiving in themselves the penalty which was due. And so to the left, no, you cannot have casual sex with no strings attached. We've known this for thousands of years. We've known this. They knew it back in the Bible. They knew this. But you think that your wisdom that you've gained in your 18 years of life is more wise than what the Bible has been saying for thousands of years. And as Paul says there, professing to be wise, they became fools. And yeah, it's not possible to have casual sex with no strings attached. It's not. Sex has a price tag. And, you know, hey, you may dodge a consequence or two. That is true. You may dodge a consequence or two in life, but you can't dodge them all. You can't go your entire life rebelling against God without consequences. That's not possible. And one other thing which I want to point out is that the casual sex hookup culture, it turns you into a liar. It does. It really does. It turns you into a liar. I recently saw a video online, and the video, it was presenting itself as this funny little, oh, haha, so casual, and everyone's laughing video. But it really made me really sad. And it was this guy, and he was at some event, some concert or whatever. And he was going up to people with a microphone, and he was saying, hey, have you ever lied about, like, not told the truth? Have you ever lied about how many sexual partners you have had in your life to your boyfriend or whatever? And he was asking all these ladies this, and every single lady said, yes, I've lied about how many people I've been with, I've lied to my boyfriend or to my husband or whatever it was. And he asked, it must have been, I don't know, like 30 different women, and they all said, yes, I've lied. And he says, well, how much do you lie by? And they say, I cut the number in half. I cut the number in half to make myself seem better. And it really, it like the video was portraying it. It was a secular video. It was portraying it as, oh, ha, 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 look, it's so funny that people lie. But no, this casual sex hookup culture, it turns these people into liars. And so rather than trying to pervert God's design, how about rather than that, how about rather we try to follow God's design, we try to follow his plan, and we do our best to follow it to a T. And if you follow God's design and you follow his plan, rather than feeling empty and alone and disease-ridden, you can follow God and you can feel fulfilled and protected and healthy. And right, abortion is the most obvious example of a tool which they think they can use to cut the strings, right? And now that it's under attack, the leftist lunatics, they're claiming that they might just give up on hookup culture and they might give up what they've so desperately been trying to protect all along. And you know, I doubt they really have the self-control to do so. I hope I'm wrong, but it seems that they won't have the self-control. But if they do give up on their hookup culture and embrace abstinence, as many are claiming that they will, if they are able to stick with that, they might just find contentment. They might just find something resembling happiness, something... They might find joy, which is something that they will never find with the hookup culture. Hookup culture, it just leaves you sad and, yeah, it is a disaster. And so to my friends on the left who will actually have a fraction of self-control, welcome to the club. It is great to have you guys. And if you want to... If you want to learn more about abstinence, you can go back and listen to my show that I did on it. I believe it was kickoff.com/, well, I don't recall off the top of my head, chastity is my guess. kickoff.com/chastity. Yes, you could go to kickoff.com/chastity. I did a series on chastity and recommend you guys check that out. That was a lot of fun. That was one of my more enjoyable, a more enjoyable topic that I've gone through on the show. And so as we've said time and time again, and it obviously is coming true, that ending abortion would be the knife in the heart of liberalism. We're already seeing that even before abortion has been fully abolished, people are saying they're going to give up on hookup culture. So we're taking W's left and right. All right, now, what do we have here? Oh, yeah, I wanted to get to the story about the border, a really sad story. Before we do so, if you guys enjoy the show and you want to keep listening, we will keep broadcasting as long as you guys allow us to. It's not cheap being on air, and we've got to keep the lights on here. So consider going to kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And you can click on the store. You can purchase a product. You can make a donation, sponsor a show. Whatever it is you can do to help us stay on the air. The very best thing you can do to help us stay on the air is to make a monthly donation. You could just make a $5 monthly donation. You could buy me half a gallon of gas. You could buy me half a gallon of gas every month. Or you could even buy me a full gallon of gas every month with a $10 monthly donation. But no, jokes aside, we really do need your guys' support to continue. And we aren't able to continue without you guys. And it's not a given that we'll be able to just go on forever. We do need your support. You know, speaking out against abortion and speaking out against hookup culture, it isn't necessarily the best thing you can do for your paycheck. And so we do ask for your support. And if you give already, thank you so much. Your support, it is so meaningful and humbling. Yeah, and you know, we couldn't go on without you. All right, now, the crisis on the border, we don't have much time left here, but I want to get to this. With the ongoing crisis at the border, there is an epidemic of smugglers bringing in illegal aliens and drugs and criminals and everyone with two brain cells. They know how bad it is. The left, right, they try and pretend that it's no big deal. And We got another painful reminder of how severe the situation is early Monday evening when a government worker was on a quiet road outside of San Antonio, and the government worker heard cries for help from a parked semi-truck. And when he approached, he found there was a massive group of dead and dying immigrants inside, and they were all locked in this semi-truck and in this 18-wheeler. And when the police arrived, the death count, it was marked at 50 dead, and there were others barely hanging on. They were taken to hospitals. And for the 50 who died, it was a horrible, excruciating death, being slowly cooked alive in the back of this truck. And, you know, it was 100 degrees, I think they said. And authorities say this has been the single deadliest migrant event in history, in American history, since we've started keeping track. Before this, the most deadly event was in South Texas when 19 died, also in a truck. That was back in 2003. That was 2 years after I was born. And then this is the most deadly migrant events. So some smugglers, they were driving this truck over the border with all these people in the back, and the truck broke down, and the drivers ditched the truck. And rather than freeing the migrants inside, they just left them there to die. And this follows the trend that we've been seeing all year at the border, which has been the past 12 months has been the deadliest year at the border on record, with almost 600 deaths. For comparison, that's almost a third of the daily abortion body count. And this is more than double what it's been in previous years. And this, of course, is a result of Biden's border policies. There's not too much to debate on that, sadly. And anyone could go on and on about the million things Biden has done wrong here. I don't want to do that right now. I'd like to take a few minutes to go back to the fundamentals and ask, why are strong borders important, just generally speaking? And when you're in school, you learn history. And a lot of kids, when they're learning history, they're thinking, you know, why am I learning about all these dead people? Who cares? That's what you hear a lot of kids. That's kind of their attitude towards learning history. And then all the kids who pay attention, they grow up to be conservatives. And all the kids who don't pay attention, they grow up to be liberals. And the reason for that is that if you don't know the mistakes of history, you are doomed to repeat them. And historically, the entire world, with all the countries and states, they were constantly attacking each other, stealing land from each other, pillaging each other, and warring with each other. And pretty much always, unless you were like deep inside one of the stronger countries, you pretty much never really felt completely secure. There was always some looming threats of some foreign power that wanted to come in and conquer you and take your stuff. And there is still now some of that in the world, but not to the degree that there was all throughout human history, right? With war in the world right now. You know, I know you've got Ukraine and that, but historically speaking, looking at the past 500 years, how much war and global conflict has dropped, it's been significant. And pretty much what you see is that as America began and as America grew in power, the global war and global conflict, it started to decline. And there was a pretty direct correlation between the power of America and the drop in the frequency and severity of war. And because America grew so strong, and this was emphasized really well with World War II, we taught other nations, hey, you're not allowed to go and cross each other's borders willy-nilly and pillage them and kill them and keep their land. You can't do that. It's unacceptable, and there will be accountability. And so with World War II, we were staying out of it at first, and then Pearl Harbor happened. And then we got involved and we started fighting, and we pushed back, and we pushed back hard. And the might of America since then it has kept much of the world in check. And, you know, even somewhat in the Middle East, even more so when Trump was president than now. But when we flex our muscles, when America flexes our muscles, it tends to work. And a lot of people like to make fun of America and they say, oh, look at America trying to play cops and robbers with the entire world. And they make fun of America for that. But that's because they don't really have a great grasp on the history. Before, you know, we were playing cops and robbers. Before that, people were pillaging and raping and stealing and all sorts of horrible stuff until America, the hard-nosed dad of the world, came in and said, hey, you guys stay over there. You guys stay over there. No, stop fighting. It took the hard-nosed American dad of the world, right, to come in and to put people in check. And by us doing that, it hasn't been this oppressive America that the liberals talk about. But by us doing that, millions of lives have been saved. Literally millions of lives have been saved by that. By enforcing other countries' borders. By enforcing other countries' borders, we have kept millions alive. And when you enforce borders, global violence and global crime, it declines. That's just that is how it is. And now with the left, they don't know that history. They just look out into the world and they see that it's relatively peaceful compared to the rest of human history. And they think, you know, oh, I guess people are just nicer now. I guess that's what it is. I guess we aren't barbarians anymore. I guess we're just nicer. And, since everyone's nice, now that I'm noticing everyone's nice, why don't we all just live together in peace and harmony? Why don't we do that? And then, you know, they don't realize everyone is being nice, so to speak, because of the hard-nosed dad, America. And so they see America being this hard-nosed dad, and they think, you know, well, that's just mean. You're just being mean, and you should be nicer. And then, you know, what happens, you know, they get their way a little bit and we soften up. We do. We soften up on our own border a little bit and the hard-nosed dad is going soft. And then when the dad goes soft, the kids get rowdy. Who would have thought? We've gone soft protecting our own borders. And if we can't even protect our own borders, who's to say that we're going to play cop and protect the borders of the world? And then as we start letting up on our borders, what do you know, Korea, they start to play with their missiles. And then you have Russia moving into Ukraine. And then we've got all these liberals saying, well, why aren't we protecting Ukraine? Why aren't we protecting their borders? This is so dumb. We should be protecting all these borders. And it's like, you want us to be strict with the borders of the world, but not our own. You want the hard-nosed dad America to fight and keep the neighbor's house safe, but not his own house safe. You would rather the dad protect someone else's family rather than his own family. And it is absurd. Now, ideally, you know, we would have very strong borders. And Trump, this was something he worded very well. He said he wants a giant wall, right? Everyone knows about, oh, there's the wall and Mexico's going to pay for the wall. And he wants a wall and he wants a giant big gate in it. That's a cool idea. Giant gate in the wall. So immigrants are welcome, but immigrants, they must come legally because, you know, we don't want criminals and drugs coming in and raping our women and corrupting our children. And that is what we're seeing right now with our soft borders. We're seeing exactly that. And we're seeing all along the border right now that all this crime is coming in. And now I will go a step further than Trump. An even better solution to the wall is to remove the desire to come here, right? It's that can't versus won't. You don't make it so they can't come here. You can make it so they won't come here. Because these immigrants, they see America is giving out all this free stuff with social programs and whatnot. And the immigrants, they want that free stuff. And I don't blame them. Who wouldn't? And so we should, in addition to the wall, it's actually the first step. We should stop giving out that free stuff. That is one thing we can do. And then the next thing we could do is we could work on our criminal justice system, and we can make our criminal justice system severely punish criminals. And that would just naturally stop the criminals from coming in. And what we could say, what we could even say is we could say, hey, all you criminals out there in the world, come on into America where we got the best justice system. And then you get all the rapists and the murderers come in and you put them to death. What do you know about that? You put them all to death. The world is a better place. Hey, that is going to do it for me here today. I am out of time. This has been the Dominic Enyart Show. I hope you guys can support us. Go to the store, kidgov.com. Click on the store. Consider making a donation, purchasing a product, or sponsoring a show. That would go such a long way. This is Dominic Enyart reminding you guys to do right and risk the consequences.